Good evening and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. Six South African male medical doctors on a mission to change the way in which we perceive healthcare. Join with us today in the studio, we have a very special guest. His name is Armin Sadiq, soon to be Dr. Sadiq. Let's give him a round of applause.
You guys
may know him as the famous doctor from TikTok, the content creator, the fitness influencer, and South Africa's first Persian amapiano superstar. And we're glad to have him in the studio because he's a newly qualified junior doctor. We're here to talk about his experience in social media, navigating that with being a medical student, and everything in between. So let's get down to it. Welcome, Armin Sadiq. Let's give him one more round of applause.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us, Armin. Tell us, how did you start? Firstly, where are you from?
I was born in South Africa, in Joburg.
Okay,
In the south.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
But Persian parents.
Yeah, my entire family is from Iran. So they moved here in the 90s. And then, yeah.
Basically. Baha'i?
No.
Not Baha'i. Muslim?
I don't get too much into religious talk.
Nice. So you grew up here in Joburg?
Yeah, I grew up here.
Okay, and then you lived your whole life Joburg, decided you're going to study. Why did you decide medicine?
I don't really have a reason, to be honest, but I knew I didn't want to do...
So you just did this for fun then?
Yeah.
You
just basically. You weren't forced to. It was like my father, my grandfather, great-grandfather, like I don't know how many generations, they're all doctors.
Okay.
So it was always in the back of my mind. And then I knew that I didn't want to do like law. I don't want to do engineering. I don't want to do...
Why?
I mean, it just didn't seem like...
It's fine. You can mock them. It's fine.
No, not that there's anything wrong. It's like law is just like a rule book that you have to learn. And then like engineering, I don't know, it just never...
Oh wait, medicine? To me. What do you think medicine is?
And the only reason I did medicine, because also it didn't interest me either, but it was just because...
This is your newly qualified doctor, ladies and gentlemen.
Family background. So, yeah.
So you wanted to join the family business.
Well, no, right. Basically what my dad said, he was like, because there's so many different specialties, you'll find something that you like.
Yeah.
So that's how he manipulated
that
me.
I think that's fair.
What did your dad do?
He's a GP.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Some of our colleagues haven't found that one yet.
Yeah. Some of us are just floating in space. That may be you, Armin. You need to prepare yourself for that.
Yeah.
So any ideas on specialization at the moment? Things that interest you?
I mean, I like some forms of surgery, but I don't know. Just the work-life balance is putting me off.
Yeah.
So, Vish, you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, I think, again, realistically, you don't have to specialize. I think that's the first thing. That's, I think, something that you should, I think, take into consideration. It's not everybody has to do it. You know, some people find more comfort in not specializing and going their own route.
And this comes from someone who is specializing. You're lying to us, saying like, no, I want to make all the money. You guys...
It's not even that.
Okay, so tell me why you decided to specialize.
So I want to do something surgical.
Okay.
Me and Nhlanhla, actually.
Yeah.
From med school days. Funny enough, we both actually want to do plastics.
Who, you and...
yeah.
And Nhlanhla, okay.
No, but I think we changed our mind with plastic when we rotated in plastics.
Yeah.
And when we realized, in the public sector, we actually had a plastic a registrar in plastic surgery a couple of weeks ago. And, it's not appealing. It's not appealing in terms of the training because when you think plastic surgery, you think
cosmetics,
boob jobs, BBLs.
Well, personally, that's my experience. I don't know about,
It's true. Which... look, in the public sector, it is different. They do a lot of burns.
Yeah.
Reconstructive work. It's all reconstructive.
So not really as much cosmetics. Yeah. But again, little differ from circuit to circuit. But again, when you qualified, you will pick what you want to do ultimately.
Precisely.
I did general surgery and then I did urology.
But just picking up on something Vish said, which is very important, we also tend to sort of, I don't know, maybe we were also pressured, subconsciously, maybe there was that bit of pressure at med school to say that, at a certain stage you need to specialize, you're not you're not a whole doctor.
There's an expectation that you go through, once you're done, that it's automatic. Like, you're going to specialize. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no other option for you.
Yeah.
And if you think about the people, I'm not saying you, but like in the sphere of people that go down that path, they look down upon people who don't specialize. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something, Armin, your father probably makes more than a lot of specialists out there. With the high medical insurance fees and things like that, as if you're a successful GP, you can mint it.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of people, I think, look at specialization from a financial, like a money point of view. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's true. Some general practitioners can make way more and have a good quality of life.
I think also there is that ego perspective of you are a specialist. And I think ultimately, you know, people label doctors as having God complex.
So exactly.
It's something that probably takes over to say, oh, I've specialized in this, or I'm head of unit of this, and, you know.
The accolades. They do it for the accolades.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
But, so you said surgical, something surgical, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I did pass out the first time I went into theater, but
what case was it?
I think it was a C-section.
Gynae then.
Yeah.
So that's off the cards.
Just out of interest, which part of the whole procedure you passed out? Like what?
Like you walked in and then they were just like schwa, and you were like
because I think of there's just one, you know, it's the end stage where they.
Because I always thought it was like a nice, you know, you make a clean cut and then it's all surgical. You're like, but then like she cuts and she's like, now pull. I'm like,
what? Oh, you were assisting.
Yeah.
You were assisting. So you, she told you take the baby out.
Yeah. No, because you know when you're like,
insane. Huh?
And then I was like, it was just...
Okay, but deliveries, you were fine with deliveries?
Now, yes. Not then, but it took some time.
You didn't pass out, though?
Not fully.
What do you mean, not fully?
Like, it was like, you know, you just...
You're woozy.
Like, a bit drunk. A bit
from the experience or the smells? Because... Let's be honest. Don't laugh. Vish, I don't know why you're looking quiet here. You tell me the first time you did a delivery. You don't expect that. So, please be honest.
So we both did our OBS rotation together, mm-hmm. and Plantla, and Naseem actually, and Suleiman.
Where did you guys do your OBS?
At Helen Joseph.
I mean, Rahima.
Rahima. Oh, yeah, I also did Rahima.
Yeah.
Yo, that place is crazy.
Yeah, so, it's quite busy.
Yeah.
Overcrowded.
Yeah. Look, normal vaginal delivery is something you'll never be prepared for. Whether it's your partner or someone else's, I guarantee you.
And I think another thing that people need to be aware of is that, I mean, when people come to tertiary hospitals or academic institutions, they usually have complications.
That's also
that added, you know.
Also,
so it's
Rahima,
not a normal.
They had very, like,
delivery.
Few local patients. They were all, like, foreign, not English speaking, difficult to
communicate. One speaks English at Mamusa. So where did you do your obstetrics?
We did it at lots of different hospitals, like Steve, Tembisa, Kalafong.
Mm.
Like all the tuck circuits.
What was your craziest experience in medical school? Now that you've gone through the whole 6 years, give us at least one. You can tell us more, but give us like one of your most craziest experiences in medical school. Something that either shocked you or like, wow. Because we always have a segment on the show where we discuss a popular case that we've done, like we've treated or whatever of the week. So I want to know from you, Armin. Tell us an interesting case that you feel is worthy of sharing here. We've had gunshot penis, by the way. You got a top gunshot penis. Someone shot the shaft off.
Everything.
And he fixed it. Wow. So if you have a story that can top that, we'll hear it.
Maybe not. It wouldn't top that.
Okay.
I wasn't personally there, but I was just told by my seniors. But... apparently, one time they were doing this heart transplant. Then they brought in the heart that they were going to put in. And then while they were transferring it, they dropped it.
Oh.
So then, obviously, you can't just get another one. So then they're like...
What, they just...
Yeah, basically, they just rinsed it with, like, saline, I think. Wow. And then they just... Because they couldn't, like... Because also, they're taking the patient's heart out already. Hecting. So they can't just
go
back.
Okay, but so now I want to know you personally. A story you were personally involved, the patient you were treating or something you saw.
Yeah. Anything like
it can be anything that makes you go like, wow, yeah. I didn't expect this.
I can't think of anything right now.
But okay.
Well, one was the Caesar experience.
One was the Caesar.
I would say the craziest experience for me was when it was a lady with a ruptured ectopic.
So for the viewers, explain, because you're a new doctor, so you need to get used to doing this.
This is not an exam.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. The exams are over. Just explain to our viewers what a ruptured ectopic is.
So it's basically when there's a baby, right? But it's not where it's meant to be. And then it explodes inside.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your...
This is your new doctor.
This is your new doctor.
This is a Persian, I'm a piano doctor.
What? There's a baby that's not supposed to be in the place it's supposed to be, and it explodes. Let's try that again. Take two. Armin, what is it after the topic?
And the thing is, I never give, like, educational
I know.
This is, like, very awkward for
me. It's all for the views.
Yeah. Okay, so basically a ruptured ectopic is when the baby isn't in the uterus, it's in the tubes on the side, right?
In tubes, yeah.
And then, as he said,
or actually anywhere that's not meant to be.
Yeah, anywhere that's not meant to be. It can be anywhere.
It can be anywhere.
The egg has implanted somewhere it's not supposed to be. It bursts, and then woman bleeds, and she can die.
And the commonest area, obviously, being the fallopian tubes. Mm.
That's the most common, right? Now, Armin, tell us, what was your experience?
So, I was on call, as a student. And then the registrar was like, oh, you need to come assist. So I'm like, I just wonder. I'm like, listen, I'm not the best with with the blood and stuff. And she's like, no, well, there's no one else and I need your help. I'm like, sure. So then, scrub in everything. Everything's fine. So then as soon as she like cuts open, it was literally like a pool of blood. Mm. Like the entire abdomen was just full. And it was just like pulsating, like there's just blood coming.
Yeah.
So then I'm there like, oh. Like I couldn't, I was trying my best. Like I know she was also trying her best to survive, but so was I. Like,
the doctor or the patient?
Me and the patient.
Both of you are in survival mode. Like,
I was going lightheaded. I'm like, yo, there's so much blood and like pulling the clots out. And then, the suction gets clogged up by
the
blood. Then I'm pulling them out and I'm just.
This is the side of medicine that they don't tell you about before you go into it. And then you discover it, and then you have to decide, like, am I still going to carry on with this or not? Some people just quit in med school. We've had people, and I'm sure you probably know a few people that quit, like, even in, like, fifth year. Yeah, someone just started their clinical rotations, and they're like, I know I can never do this. Yeah. Some actually finish, then they start internship, and then they're like,
internship
I can't do this.
Internship is
another beast. Internship is another
beast.
Nothing can prepare you for that.
Some people quit in internship or they just kind of finish their comsurf and they're like, I'm out, I'm doing something else. Which brings us to the next question, Armin. You ready for internship?
Hopefully.
Where are you going?
Question is, are my patients ready for
internship? Yeah.
Actually, that's a big after the baby exploding.
Yeah, the baby exploding. Good luck if you're in the gynae ward of wherever he's going.
And which hospital are you planning to go to?
I can't say it yet.
Why?
No, because I don't want people to come there.
Oh, because he's famous. That's why
a lot of people are coming.
Just tell us the region.
There's always going to be a lot of people.
The waiting time is what they need to worry about.
I'm saying I don't want people to come for the reason, like to see me in a sense.
Oh, is that what? Are you that famous?
No,
I mean, is that what you're trying to say?
No, it's just
so the way public hospitals work now.
Explain to him, Vish.
It works now by the region you are in. So, drainage area. I mean, you tell us more because you work in the ED. So
Joburg Gen, right, where I work. If you're not within the catchment area, so there's like the areas just surrounding Joburg Gen, you don't get seen. So they can come there and they can try as hard as they want, but unfortunately, they're not going to get to see you, Armin. But you can tell us, if you don't feel comfortable with sharing that now, just tell us which region, which province.
Which province?
It's in Western Cape, yeah.
Ah!
Krutasgeer.
Tigerberg?
No comment.
You want to do like a big announcement on your social media?
Well, not really. I think it's just, I don't know. I've just had a lot of...
Tell us why. This seems like a very...
The thing is, I don't like the fame, if it makes sense. I don't like
interesting, yeah,
people
to know too much about your, yes, like personal life,
because okay. I have a lot of experiences where people will be like, oh, like how was the thing you did a few days ago, like just a random person I've just seen on the road. And then I just sometimes feel like
you want to keep,
yeah,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, that's 100%, man. 100%. I agree. I'm not that famous, but yeah. I also have, when I started my social media journey, I realized that the more and more you share, the more and more people want to be invested in your life and, yeah, ask you deep, yeah, personal, yeah, questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I stuck to just putting out comedy and just making it about me being funny. Don't worry about my life. Don't worry who I'm with, what I'm doing, yeah. Yeah. Who I'm doing it with. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Just enjoy the comedy.
Yeah.
So I like
comes,
that.
It comes with the popularity. I mean,
it's just natural.
And, it's so natural.
We had some weird stuff. People, like, yeah, people would ask me about, yeah, you. People would ask you about me. And like,
yeah, 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 yeah. So, like, because, you know, they all knew that we were all friends or whatever, then they'd ask, like, people would ask me about his life.
Mm.
On my social media, nobody asked me about Nhlanhla's life because he shows his whole life.
Everything.
Everything.
Too much.
You can see the birthmark on his twin's neck.
I believe sharing is caring. I just want to ask you a little bit about your TikTok,
of course,
journey. How do you cope with, you know, being a sort of a TikTok sensation and being a medical student at the same time? Do you think it comes with a lot of sort of responsibilities? And do you think, I think more importantly, do you think you're knowing our profession, do you think you get judged more by your colleagues or your classmates? You know,
yeah,
how are you doing? How are you passing and doing all of this nonsense?
I don't know. It's a bit tricky. Like, I do enjoy all the things I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I started the social media when I was 14. So I was a content creator before I was ever a medical student, yeah, or a doctor.
What platforms? What did you do?
I started on Vine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember
Vine? Those are like those 3-second videos. Yeah.
I never really had any sort of popularity, though. It was only after like 8-9 years of doing content that I had any video blow up.
Mm.
So it was obviously Vine and then Instagram and then TikTok. So.
But TikTok was the one that...
Yeah, TikTok was on your Vine.
You don't do YouTube or anything else?
Sometimes, but it's just I don't have the time to.
Mm. It's another beast.
Edit, yeah.
It's another beast.
Yeah.
TikTok, YouTube, yeah.
But yeah, I would say it's. I do enjoy it. I think there are certain challenges. Like, for example, like, I know I don't give educational content, so when people ask me like serious questions, like now, and I answer like stupidly.
No, that wasn't stupid, by the way.
That was
a good explanation.
That's a good explanation.
For a layman,
yeah.
Instead of saying fallopian,
but for a woman who has one,
it's like the most.
At its basic level, that is exactly what
the most extreme form of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, who's gonna remember the fetus can either be in the intra-abdominal,
mm,
you
in
know,
the
in
fallopian
tubes, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. You don't want to hear about
so
that.
I think one of the biggest challenges that I've been experiencing is being worried that people don't trust me or they think I'm like an idiot.
Oh yeah, I get that.
Because the one time I was just walking around Fourways Mall and then just out of nowhere in Cotton On, someone shouts like, I'd never trust you to be my doctor. I'm like,
yeah,
who was like,
I'm yes, like,
the chances are that person, you wouldn't trust them either.
I wouldn't trust you to sell me a shirt.
So then I don't know if you've also seen people always comment like, oh, I'm gonna eat my apples, eat your apples.
Never coming to you.
Yeah, so sometimes obviously I know it started as a joke, but sometimes I'm like, are these guys being serious? And then like when I'm in a ward round and a consultant asks me a question I don't know, then I think I'm like, it's because,
yeah,
it's because
I'll tell you,
anything.
It does play, it, yeah, it plays on one's insecurities. And I think even for me, because I'm a stand-up comedian, people think like I'm just there on stage, even when I'm at work. I'm like, no man, someone's dying there. I'm not telling jokes while I'm pumping his chest. But it wasn't so like direct. Like, I know with you, you got like people directly telling you like, I don't trust you or whatever. But I think maybe the reason why is because you blew up as a student. I blew up when I was already a doctor, and maybe people already trusted that I've done that. Now I'm doing this. Whereas for you, maybe, and this is just a theory, maybe they go like, clearly he's not worried about his schoolwork if this is what he's doing in his spare time.
Yeah.
But what they don't understand about us, doctors are multifaceted human beings. We have many things that we're interested in. And the ones that actually tap into the things that they really enjoy outside of medicine tend to be, in my opinion, better doctors. Like, I mean, fitness, comedy. We have other things in our life that we focused on, so that medicine is just another facet of our life. So
it's a profession. I mean, after all, it shouldn't be defining anyone.
You know? Also, at the end of the day, I think people who, how you perform in med school is, doesn't determine how good a doctor you will be.
At all. We have people that were cum laudes in med school that are horrible doctors. Horrible. It's easy to pass. It's not difficult to pass.
I'm not sure about easy to pass, but like, you know.
Not to discredit all that you've done. He's like, he's thinking, shit, damn.
You can't say just because someone was getting A's. Yeah. I mean, you also know this. You have friends. You have some people. I remember we had some people in our class who got A's, and you just never, I never understood how they did it.
But the thing is, when you work with them, actually, when you, not when you are answering questions and being a student, but when you're being a doctor. They can't put theory to clinical knowledge to treating the patient, or even like skills wise, it's not there.
And I think your EQ is far greater than anyone else in your class. You know why? Because you know how to speak to people. You know how to appeal to people. You know how to relay messages that they don't. They don't have like a platform that you have. They don't understand how to relate to like the layman in the street and say your uterus is exploding or whatever, you know?
That can also happen.
Can I actually ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask each of you, what do you guys think makes someone like a good doctor? Obviously, because, you know, I'm starting out now. But obviously from your experience, because for me, what I believe now is I believe that how good you are is how much you care about your patients. So I just want to know if you guys have any advice in that aspect.
It's a loaded question.
Yeah.
But, it's a loaded I'm just going to personalize it. I mean, I think everything starts with the doctor, right? I mean, I know we always told, you know, the best one is the one who obviously just thinks about his patient and takes care. But I think taking care of you, I mean, if you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to take care of other people, you know? So a balanced life, you know, family time, you know, so the family supports you in performing your daily duties. And I think something that Vish actually touched on, you'll see majority of what we do is really God's work. There's so much that you know that you'll also look at and think, how on earth do I know all this stuff? Because I mean, a lot of it is really spiritual learning, and we get taught so much that gets lodged in the brain.
A lot of it you even take for granted until you relay it to like one of your friends that are not in medicine or family members, and you actually think like, yes, I did this thing, or like
exactly.
I'm like so used to seeing this or treating this, or I mean, jumping on someone's chest like every day.
Yeah. So I mean, just in short, obviously, I think finding a sort of work-life balance and sort of taking care of yourself first, I think it gives you even a better sort of chance at being, you know, the doctor that you probably want to be one day. I don't know.
Vish?
Maybe Vish.
Yeah, no, I also 100% agree with that. And I think the key thing is knowing when to ask for help. Or knowing what your limits are and knowing when to ask for help, I think is something not a lot of people have. And I think it's a valuable thing. It doesn't show weakness. It just shows you know where to draw the limits, or you know where you need some assistance. Whether it's like... you know, psychological things like burnout, or even just practical things, treating a patient, advice, things like that.
I think for me, you know, one very important lesson that my grandfather taught me, who was also a doctor, is humility. And that in this profession, the amount of like respect that you get from people, and the amount of love you get from your patients, and even people in society, they look at our profession like they hold it in high regard. So it is a very difficult thing, because one, you're getting a lot of praise, and you know, I'm sure you've even experienced it now, even just as a medical student. It can touch into your ego, and particularly certain specialities attract people with bigger egos that feed off of that. Oh, I'm the best and I can do. But the reality is, as Nhlanhla said, if you're a person of faith, which I am, is that it is all God's work. There have been times where I've been in that ED with a 20... I'll tell you two cases. 26-year-old woman, asthma attack, died. Mm-hmm. Within 4 hours in my ED. 26, asthma attack, pregnant, 14 weeks, died. 82-year-old woman came in with a heart attack. We lost her. We brought her back. The next week, she walked out, 82. Now, any statistical evidence would say the 26-year-old was supposed to survive and the 82-year-old was supposed to die. But that's not how it works in reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think grounding yourself in knowing that some things are just out of your control, because it can be very taxing on your soul to think that I'm in charge. Like, if I didn't do this or I didn't do that, then this person would have survived or this outcome would have been better. It can eat you up if you...
And
there's a fine line. You've got to try and figure out that fine line between caring too much and not caring. Because if you don't care, you're not going to be a good doctor to your patients. But if you care too much, it can like hurt you inside.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I'm losing a family member every day. So try and find the balance of caring, but not caring too much so that it affects you and you bring your work home. Then it affects your family and everybody else.
Yeah.
Treat people like human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Few other things that my grandfather taught me is never eat in front of a patient. You don't know if they've had a meal today. When you look at a patient, think of them as somebody in your family. If it's an elderly woman, think of them as your grandmother. It's a slightly younger woman, think of them as your mother, sister, whatever it is. But if you have that empathy for that patient, because you see them as someone that's like in your family, you will treat them with the dignity and respect that they deserve.
Yeah.
And no matter how difficult and no matter how much pressure you have at your job, if you remember those few things, I think you'll be successful. So I hope that answers your loaded question. Anything else you have for us? You want to host the show? Feel free. What are you scared of?
Ectopic pregnancies.
We've established this. What are you scared? Like, what are your biggest fears going into internship now?
It seems... this probably isn't going to be a real problem, but I'm just thinking, like, when I'm rotating through gynae and then, like, let's say my patient's like, oh my god, I know you from TikTok, and then I'm like, okay, well, I have to do like a PV examination now.
No, look into that camera and tell them what a PV examination is. They're all wondering.
That's all I'm saying.
That's all. Those two fingers, yeah?
It means peace, guys.
It means peace.
It's a peace sign.
Yeah.
So
when you have to do a PV, what do you think is going to happen?
No, like, not that anything, like, I don't think anything crazy is going to happen, but it's just
anything crazy.
You think she's going to come to you and be like, I specifically waited for you, Dr.
No,
Sadiq.
It's just, I feel like, because when they know you from, like, your real life, and then to do, like, an intimate examination, I feel like it feels... I've never done this before, obviously. But I'm just saying, if I was to think about it, it would seem like it would be a challenge.
I had one experience like that.
Mm-hmm.
We are sitting in triage. So that's where we decide whether they go into the emergency or not. Young girl, she was maybe like 23, 24, whatever. Yeah. Recognized me from social media. But she clearly, well, I thought either had an appendicitis or PID, which is pelvic inflammatory disease. And... she recognized me and we started chatting, and then I realized, fuck, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to do this PV. So then I was like, listen, I told my other female colleague, I was like, I think you need to do this because this might be a bit of conflict of interest here.
Yeah.
Obviously,
not on my part, on her part.
Yeah. I mean, obviously some of us are not celebs, so we can't comment on.
Ntlantla is a full on celeb, he's lying to you.
What I can comment on, what I remember clearly rotating to gynae, was doing manual evacuations in old women. I mean, at that time, what?
Old woman. What an old woman.
No, old. Like, I mean, 40-year-olds. And like, I mean, at that time, how old was I? Like 25?
Yeah.
You know, 25, 26 when we finished.
How old were you?
I was 26.
Are you old? Don't lie now.
Yes, yes.
Okay, 25, 26, and you're doing it on a 40-year-old woman?
And I mean, knowing our hospitals and how short staffed they are, I mean, you get, you know, trained once, twice, and you all alone with 40 women that have just, you know, had miscarriages. I mean, they they're in a very bad space.
Yeah. Mm.
And then this 20-year-old, 27-year-old appearing, and I know my age keeps on going up.
This 29-year-old, this 35-year-old.
Yeah, so that's the dynamic I face. I think people know it. And another thing that we forget, because of the stress of the situation, you know, no one cares. Like, no one's there.
Really, I mean, like,
they've just lost an entire human being that they've had in their bodies for a very long time.
Yeah.
So trust me, you know, the problems you think you're going to be experiencing, you know, no one's going to care about that stuff. Mm. You won't even care about it because,
but I think,
you know,
also
the stress and trying to just help.
Also, like, don't sacrifice, like, the awkwardness of doing a PV or doing, like, a urogenital examination just because it might feel awkward. Because, I mean, it can completely change the management. It can save someone's life.
Yeah.
Mm. So,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I guess I'm also just scared of
do the DRE. Yeah,
stick your finger in that bum.
Because obviously mistakes are going to be inevitable during internship.
100%. Throughout your career, not just internship. Mm.
So I just feel like if I have the background of, oh, I'm making jokes, people don't take me seriously, then when I do make a mistake, it's going to be like, oh, we expected it from him, or it's something that's...
Let me tell you something that's 100% true. To this day, people don't take me seriously. I could make the same mistake as somebody else, but he's a clown, so of course he was going to make that mistake. Because you were out doing one of your gigs, hey? That's why one of your gigs. I've heard that. Absolute rubbish from more senior people. And those same people, let me tell you, the funny thing is those same people will call me when it's time year end and say, can't you do like a little skit for us, a 30-minute skit for our department. And I'm like, no, take your department, shove it deep up your ass. I'm not going to do that for you. Why? And I mean, I think the thing is that we come from a very old school mentality.
Yeah.
It's very British, our system of the hierarchies and things like that. And to some extent it works. But I think there's a new age of doctors.
Mm.
Who are multifaceted people who have interests that range beyond just being in the hospital.
Yeah,
and I think they do find it tough. Mm. Like, I'm sure you probably get flack for, oh, look at you always at
the
gym.
Time. Yeah. All the time.
You make a mistake.
I mean, even just colleagues, you know, in the corridors.
We used to get it all the time.
In the corridors. They'd be like, oh, you actually come to work. I thought you work in the gym or something.
Yeah.
But I think it's just people projecting.
Because they feel like, exactly. I wish I could do that and do this.
Yeah.
And they it hurts them inside that they're like, I can't do anything else but this.
Yeah.
And we're like, we do your job and the other job perfectly well. So you shouldn't, in fact, let them berate you. Let them insult you. What you need to do is just be confident in yourself and be like, I don't care. Mm. I know I'm good at this and I'm good at all the other things I do.
Yeah.
If you genuinely feel like whatever you're doing outside of medicine is really affecting your work, then take a step back, reflect, and say, maybe I need to focus a bit more.
Yeah.
But it must come from you, not them. The external. You'll hear people shouting at you for anything and everything, especially in internship, and it can break your confidence if you don't have that self-confidence.
But remember, in internship, you're also there to learn. So if, again, as I said, like if there's something you're not comfortable with or you need help, that's what you need to do. You need to ask for help. The senior should assist you.
Yeah. Another question for me, finances.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm sure you're excited. I mean, I remember us at this stage, you just...
Mm. You bought a car.
Yeah, please don't ask him about finances. Don't ask him about finances when you were staying at... This man was staying at the doctor's quarters driving a almost million rand car.
Your priorities
were all off.
There's a story to that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just want to know, as a junior doctor, are you getting any help, any support?
Advice from others?
In terms of finances?
In terms of finances, what's your plan?
Well, I'm sure you guys know by this time of year... There's all these banks.
They're all going to come knocking. Like, hey, don't you want this car? Yeah, don't you want this house?
Yeah. I mean, personally for me, I just go in all the meetings because they pay for it. So I get my lunch, my coffee, meet with the
Those are nice. Huh? Yeah. I remember in med school, they used to just sit us down.
Very, very nice.
But yeah, I've met with a few financial advisors. Mm-hmm. But also, because I don't really spend a lot of money. I was brought up very like frugal. I don't spend money unnecessarily. But... Yeah. On the other hand, I'm like, I'm only going to have money in my 20s once. So
go back, be me.
Yeah. and then slave away for enough. The rest of your life because you put yourself in debt.
No, but it's not. It's like I said, there's always context to all these things. Obviously, someone outside thinks you're just going crazy.
No,
but,
look.
But even just how you were raised, like you're saying, I mean, you come from a very sort of minimalist family or sort of practice, and you've been taught certain principles. And I think you said your dad is also a doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, some of these things are not de novo to you. You know, it's things that were there. You know, your dad has done it, has probably taught you. Mm. Some of us, you understand, we're the first.
Yeah.
We're the first.
Yeah.
That check, when it comes in, I'm doing it for my uncle. I'm doing it for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so. And I mean, it's okay. I worked hard for it. You know?
100%. Look, I think everyone has the idea of money going into it. And you're going to get a big paycheck off the bat for the first time in your life.
Mm.
You just need to know, am I doing this for me or am I doing this to show other people I've got money?
Yeah.
If you're doing it for you, like Ntlantla likes cars. He likes fast cars. Now he doesn't drive one because he messed himself up with debt earlier. But...
What's this debt you're talking about?
Let me tell you, when you go from Germany to Japan, when you go from a BMW to a Suzuki Swift, you know you've made some bad financial decisions.
No, that's not what it is.
He's now living that frugal life that you have.
I mean, you can't always be here, you know?
I mean,
it's life.
It goes up and down. But listen, cycles. I'm just joking. Ntlantla likes cars, so he bought a nice car because that's what made him happy. And he knew also that what he's saying is he's talking about his own personal journey, which is he came from him being the first doctor in the family, the first person who's, you know, made it out there. So there was obviously other people that you also needed to take care of, you know. And that's important too. But you wanted at least one thing for yourself. I remember you telling me this. You were like, you don't understand. You guys sat in Mercedes and BMs your whole life.
He had a Merc even in med school.
That wasn't my Merc.
You know? Someone lent it to you because they knew you were graduating. They were like,
maybe.
We're going to see that
one. The same one he took to Mafeking.
Yeah. Crazy. Anyway, so tell us, like, what are you going to spend your first paycheck on? I think that's a practical way of understanding where Armand's head is at.
It's funny because my friends always ask me this question. I have like a list of things that I need, but I don't know. I don't really care about money in that sense. Like obviously, I want to not be in debt, but.
Mm. I don't want to be like him.
He's not in debt. Don't worry. Yeah. He's fine. He's just downsizing. But what's important to you? Material. There has to be something that you like.
I promise you. I don't care. Like I like clothes, but I buy them like thrifted. Like
okay.
If it's cheap, like I don't care if it's Gucci or just like Red Bat. If I like the look, like I'll just buy it. So I don't know.
But price is still important. Like you want a good deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, so the Persian gene is strong.
Yeah.
Poor Red Bat.
So yeah, I don't really.
Car? Gonna buy a car?
Yeah. Well, like there's one that I'm buying now, but it's like a downgrade from my first car.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. I see what I mean. You can't.
So wait, what's happening to your current car?
I sold it.
You sold it. So your parents, I'm assuming, gave you that car.
Yeah. So they got me that first car, and then. I'm selling that one now, and then I just
and
use
you
the money
buy.
To buy.
Mm. That's very smart.
Yeah.
Look, I think it's important to manage your finances, especially early on. You got to think not enjoy yourself for 2 years. Mm. Take money. You'll have enough to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
But be very careful because it can burn you 10 years
Don't
later.
Don't get yourself in, obviously.
In like insane amounts of debt. I've seen guys who go crazy after their first paycheck. I'll give you a story. Guy intern, me and Brendan... I actually managed to get Brendan from East London to Joburg because of this guy. Because he was messing his life up so badly.
How are we
so
not
badly.
Talking about Brendan's multiple car buying?
Listen, cars, he's not on please. The podcast now. You here. You here with your Japanese car?
How am I the one here that's being bullied here?
So let me tell you about this guy. I'm not going to mention his name. But he came from a small town in Eastern Cape. and then came to the big city in Joburg, went ballistic. He immediately wanted, I think it was, do you remember the car, Brendan? It was like a CLK.
No, it was a 4 Series.
No, it was a Merc. I remember it was a Merc. SLK, something crazy that was almost over R1 million, right? He takes a loan because he was already in debt. He was a nurse first, then he became a doctor. So he's old. He's like maybe he was mid-30s. Then he takes out a massive loan from a loan shark. With a, you know how those loan sharks go. Those machinistas will charge you like 30% extra.
50
even. So he can't pay his loan repayments back. One night he goes out to the club, picks up two girls thinking he's the Don. Gets back to his place. These girls drug him. They steal the car.
What?
Drugged him. He was like out for 2 days. Didn't wake up for 2 days. And they stole the car. And he was carless. And then he was scared. Brendan wanted to transfer to Joburg. He was like, I'm happy to go back home to my Suzuki Swift. And then he transferred back and Brendan came. But that's how crazy it gets. So people really... Sometimes if they've never seen money before, especially if you've never seen that much money and you know the potential and the power, the other thing is, oh, women are going to come for your money. Am I lying?
I mean, I can't.
What do you mean? Don't look at me like I'm crazy.
Man. I mean,
dude, I think women are going to be interested.
Women already come for you. For your jokes.
No comment.
But so the money,
what's different,
the money, when the money comes, don't act like the woman that were chasing after you in medical school are the same amount of women that were chasing after you. Whether you entertain it or not is regardless.
True. Yeah, that's true.
But the woman will come, man.
Yeah, so
they want a slice of that pie.
And you're a comedian. really, but
I don't know if that helps your
just be smart, I suppose, yeah.
I'll try my best.
I mean, if you're already buying thrift,
like deaf means like they're gonna come for you.
They are gonna come for you. So what are you guys denying this?
Listen,
you guys are. Why are you guys denying this? do you not believe this, Armin?
What money?
No. That women are gonna like come for you when you start earning money and you've got a nice. Well, maybe you're not gonna buy a crazy car.
Hopefully
they're gonna come. So he wants the baddies. That's great.
No, I'm joking.
I'm glad you've chosen.
I think another thing, obviously, post med school, you have more time.
Depends.
What do you mean?
It really depends where you're doing internship.
No, I don't think it depends.
He's in the Western Cape. Wherever he is in the Western Cape.
You have money and you have more time. Obviously, you're going to be meeting people. You know, you would generally not meet when you're at med school.
Yeah.
And you're entering spaces where you wouldn't, you know, generally be able to get into as a student, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
Are you you're just a baller student.
Yeah. Are you in a relationship now?
No. Single.
Yay! Going into internship single.
How's the process now? How's the process in getting an internship post?
It's the same. Yeah. You put your 5 top options, 3 different provinces.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get allocated.
Did you get your first choice?
I got my second choice.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm still happy.
Yeah.
But everyone gets a post internship. That's not where the problem was.
Some of our colleagues didn't get.
Some of them get like second round, the third round, the fourth round.
That's internship. I think it's the ComServe.
No. Internship. Well, let's ask him. What's happening?
It's mainly for foreigners. Like the PRs and the South African citizens generally do get the post, but.
And then you get shafted out to somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and I remember the, especially the Zimbabwean.
Limpopo.
Zimbabwean friends. They go,
Limpopo, you're there on the border, struggle. You can see Zimbabwe. Yeah. You thought life is going to be great.
Yeah.
Going to Zierist.
Said, man.
Yeah, Zierist. But they don't prepare you for that. That's the other thing. They don't prepare you for when they tell you, like when you become a doctor, you think like, oh, I'm guaranteed a job for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Firstly, what job are you getting in internship? You're not guaranteed a nice city where you want to be. You could be out in the middle of nowhere. That's one sacrifice that people never talk about. Then ComServe.
Worse
because they want to send you out. They don't want you to be in the big cities. Mm. You're lucky if you get a big city post. Then post ComServe, that's even more worrying. Because you're like, now I can apply to the whole country, but everyone can say no.
Yeah.
And that is...
That Facebook group, the one where people say, have Limpopo, want to swap for Cape Town.
Willing to pay. People paying now for posts? That's still happening. Hey, I mean, like a willing buyer, willing seller. If you want to go and you take that money, why not?
Yeah, yeah.
How much would you take if somebody offered you to swap?
To go to Limpopo. Be honest. Just give us a number. Limpopo.
Or Bloemfontein.
Zanin.
I don't think there's any amount of money.
That could make,
any amount.
The thing is, I don't really care about money, if I'm being honest. Like, I could, as long as I'm not in poverty and I'm like, okay, like I can buy the things I need and like some entertainment stuff. I don't really...
Guys, we're talking about... this is a Persian and a piano DJ.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about money for the rest of his life.
Look, also, when I was younger, I really wanted to just be like rich and famous. Like that was my only goal.
Okay. So now you're famous, but just not famous.
No, not even, it's just... I think when I went to like therapy, you know, I started working on myself.
Okay.
I became more confident in the things that make me me. I stopped needing that like external validation.
I see.
So then like the money, the fame, if anything, it seemed more like a burden as opposed to something that I'm striving for.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, nowadays I don't really even think about money. I don't know if it's just the way like my family is or what.
Look, to be fair, and from what you're saying, you sound like you come from a fairly privileged position. Mm-hmm. You know, your parents have, your dad's a doctor, you know, you've grown up at least having material at your disposal. So if you needed something, your dad could probably get it for you. Maybe not like the most insane car or whatever, but you had access to that. And I think that puts you in a good place because your father can also give you good financial advice and other people in your family can give you good financial advice.
And those things matter. They matter a lot.
But money really does matter in your life. And you're young. And I think I also had a very sort of similar like vibe, like, oh, I don't care about money. Whatever's best for me will happen. When life hits you and you post comp stuff and you got no paycheck, that's when you're going to be like, I care a lot about this money thing. Because it does have impacts. You know, at a certain point in life, you're going to want to have a house. You're going to want to have a car. You may have a family at that stage. You may want kids and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's good to... yeah, don't be too attached to money because then it can completely dictate your life.
Yeah.
But don't be completely removed from thinking about what's best for me also financially, like for the future.
That can also be damaging, you know?
But the one thing before, because we're almost wrapping up, we haven't really touched a lot on the comedy and that type of thing. So you started when you're 14.
Yeah.
And you only really took off like 8-9 years. Was your stuff always funny? You always wanted to be a funny content creator? Or because I've seen like some of your stuff is also like fitness. You're there in the gym. I've seen like some of your funny vlogs.
I'm taking him to gym.
Huh? You are? Yeah.
All right. You make some videos with me.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Cool.
But sorry, what was the question?
So the question is like, what was your content and why?
When I started making the videos, I always thought they were funny when I posted them. Obviously, now when I look back, maybe some of them weren't that funny. But it was always centered around trying to have some sort of humorous aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was younger, I wasn't really confident, so I would never speak. So it was mainly me doing like dancing, like funny dancing.
Yeah.
And obviously it was Vine, so it was 6 seconds. So it'd be just... I don't know. It's hard to explain. I'd have to show you guys, but it's just...
Okay. No, we'll pull up some of your videos. But I mean, so where was the progression then between that and then moving on to TikTok and blowing up?
I don't know. I just always enjoyed it because even when before social media, me and my sister used to always just make videos, just funny videos, just at home while we bored. So always enjoyed being in front of the camera, making jokes, making people laugh, and then it was very on and off for me because I'd make videos like none of them would do well. And then I would lose hope and then quit. And I quit maybe like 3, 4, 5 times.
Like completely.
Yeah, I was like, I'm never doing this again. And then like 1 year later, I'm like, I'm back. It's like me like doing the nene or something. So like, yeah, I...
But you know, what's interesting is the internal and external validation, right? So do you feel like when you make a video, do you think to yourself, wow, I think this is funny? And I'm going to put this up because I think it's funny. Or do you wait to see how many likes and reactions you get and comments and then go, yeah, this is good. What's more driving you?
I would say the ideal answer is obviously that I post whatever I find funny.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I do. But, you know, sometimes you spend like 7 hours making a video, you think it's hilarious, and it gets like 43 likes in like 24 hours. And then it's like, it just hits you, like it hits your ego. And I don't know, a lot of the time I'm like, okay, well, this is just embarrassing. So I just like private the video or like try again. So yeah, I do obviously make content that I enjoy and that I like, but I'd be lying if I said that
you don't enjoy the external validation. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think you'd actually even do well if you. There has to be that element.
There has to be that certain element of like, I care what these
and how people receive stuff.
But like for me, I don't even read my comments. I don't go through my comments at all because half of them will probably be positive, half will be negative. Some.
What do you actually think about like interacting with your audience? I mean. I know the bigger you get, the more kind of negative. I don't know, actually. I mean, you can just tell us.
Do you have haters?
Sporadic. Like, it's not as bad as certain people, but they're there, but they're not like... It'll be random things. They'll be like, oh, your deviated septum is really bad. I'm like, how did you even see it?
Yeah, they'll make fun of your appearance. The reason why I'm wearing this is because I had to go get a hair transplant because people were making fun of my hairline.
Yeah.
You don't understand how bad it was. They were like, when are you just gonna accept it and take the L and go bald? People would comment that stuff. Like, you're making fun of other people. When was the last time you looked in the mirror? Because that hairline is leaving you. Like, people were mean, man. Yeah. Mean. Yeah. And I just made a decision. I'm not going to read these comments. Because whether they say nice things or whether they say terrible things, it doesn't matter to me. It's all engagement. I don't care.
What kind of guides your content? Like
whatever comes to your mind, or like
you. Basically. Specific certain things that you mainly do, or trending things.
I would say before maybe I'll try have like a theme, but now it's just whatever that I like or anything that I find entertaining or means something to me. I make content about. So I guess my niche is just my personality and things that I like.
Yeah.
So it's just based around me, basically.
Okay.
And then, sorry, I just wanted to go back to your question. Because it sort of ties into what you were saying. Like, you don't read the comments because it's either good or bad. And I feel like both of them can be bad for you. Because, you know, when it's all good, it sort of inflates your ego. You have, like, a distorted perception of who you are, what you are. And then when it's bad... You like, oh, I'm a worthless person. Oh, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. So I feel like, although I would like to engage with my community, I do understand that there is a lot of risk, whether it's good or bad. I try. Obviously, it's not ideal because I want to be like, thank you guys, but I don't want it to affect
exactly
who I am too much. So
okay. But at least I got. You know, a general picture, sort of idea of how you guys deal with the stuff. Because I've always thought, I mean, the more you engage with people, the better, you know, because then it's like a personal thing. Then it's...
Look, you should have a community. I wouldn't say, like, TikTok, I don't at all. Instagram, I will engage. And generally, people on Instagram, I find, are a little bit more... They're not as negative as they are on TikTok. TikTok, people will make... Faces. People will make private profiles. Literally, do you understand how much time and effort they go into hating me? Just to comment, you suck, you should quit. Now, if I had to sit there and read these comments and really like take them to heart, I'd feel miserable. And you can have, and let me ask you this, 100 comments, great, and one comment, one will just say, you're horrible, you should quit. And that one comment hits you in the chest. So that's why I'm like, whether it's good, whether it's bad, now I'll read them and I'll just laugh. okay, loser. You had that much time with your life. You would have made a fake profile just to come and comment on my video. Oh, you must really love me. You're not a hater. You're a lover.
Yeah.
And then one more question for me about my piano.
Yeah. Tell us firstly, I know you play piano. When did you start playing piano? And is that the only instrument you play?
I dabble in the guitar and drums. But piano, I would say, is my main instrument.
How old were you when you started?
So I was forced in typical Brown fashion when I was like 8. but I hated it. Like, because you know when you go through the formal training, it's like classical songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. It's very like boring for like an 8-year-old child.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think I only did it for like a little bit, and then I quit. And then when I was like 16, I was trying to like, you know.
Yeah, get good with the ladies.
Because yeah. I remember those.
I play piano.
No, literally. There was one kid, he like played this one, was it a Coldplay song on the piano? And then all the girls were like, oh my God. And then me at the time, because I was also fairly ugly at the time. Not that I'm saying that I'm like very, not that ugly, but you know.
Don't worry, the money's going to make you very handsome.
Very handsome. Very good. So but, you cut me.
Yeah.
I actually wanted us to play. What you're
we are going to play that, but we want to know the inspiration behind the video.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, okay. Finish your story. Piano, Coldplay, girls, good times.
So yeah, basically it was to get more attention from the women. And then I would just pull up YouTube, and then, you know, you see the videos of people playing. I'd basically just copy it. It wasn't even because I was interested by the piano. I just wanted the validation and the attention. So then when I started doing that, I started enjoying it. And then I actually like started, you know, to really like it. And then I continued playing and yeah.
And then now the piano, how did you get to make an AMA piano track that you are releasing this Friday, right?
Yeah. Or tonight, tonight.
Tonight? Midnight. Where's the party? Where's the launch party? Yeah. We're coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell us, before we play it, what was the inspiration? Why did you decide to make AMA piano track? Why does this Persian doctor... Well, so many other things in his life decide, nah, AMA piano is it for me.
I would say...
One track. That's all you made. One track.
Yeah. Okay. For now. The biggest inspiration, I'd say, I went to my first concert. It was like a Post Malone concert when I was like 18.
Mm.
And I don't know. It was just the feeling of seeing this person play this music and all these random strangers that have nothing in common were like united over this song that meant a whole bunch of different things to them. And you know, in that moment, no matter what they had going on in their lives, they were all just there listening to the song. And it was, I just thought it was a very like amazing experience.
No, this guy's a DJ.
So that was like, that's when I first became interested in it. And then I never thought I was like musically talented.
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, I'm not to say that I am or not, but I never thought I was able to even make a song.
So it was a challenge.
Yeah. So there was this free online platform. It's called BandLab. That's where I started.
Producing.
Yeah. Music. So it's not like a complete professional level, but it's much more powerful than what the previous iterations of a free music. It's called a DAW, a DAW. Would have been. So I started messing around with it. I'd made like a lot of songs. I never really intended on releasing anything.
So all those were horrible. Is that what you're
saying? Basically. Yeah. Then when I made this one, it wasn't even intentional. It wasn't like I went into this, I want to make an AMA piano song. Because I'm going to be honest, I don't really listen to that much AMA piano myself.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Have you heard this? Oh, we'll hear it now. But it's crazy that you say you haven't heard AMA piano and then you make this banger.
No, I think you've heard AMA piano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, obviously I heard it. But I'm
but you're not like a super fan. You don't know who's who in the game.
Yeah, like I have a few songs, but it's not like my main. On Spotify.
So
rap,
what music do you like?
Like R&B, hip hop.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just, you know, a bit of everything.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was just messing around, and then I was going through the samples. There's a bunch of free samples you can use. And one was like an AMA piano, like drum set. And then I was like, there's no way this is going to work with this other piano. Like, I don't know if you heard the intro. It's like the piano.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way this is going to work, but let me just try it. So I just put the drums on. And then, like, I don't know, something clicked. And I was like, this sounds, like, I thought it sounded really good.
Mm.
And then
you put it out? I saw you put out snippets on TikTok.
Yeah.
People going crazy.
Yeah. So I want to hear this.
I'm excited for you guys.
Okay, let's hear it. I'm happy we know how this started.
Oh, but do you want to, because I have the actual song. Do you want me to send you the song?
Oh, yeah. If you have the actual song, then we don't have to see your friends.
Should I take it out now?
But can we hear this one?
But wait, if we send it to her, she can play it directly here.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
This will be a nice way to play ourselves out of this episode. Cool. You'll airdrop it to her and she's going to play it. We're going to play ourselves out with this track. Okay, we're going to play ourselves out to this track. But I want you guys to go to the comments You know he's going somewhere in the Western Cape. I want you to tell us where you think Armin is going. We're going to tell you at the end of this episode once it's aired and he's in Cape Town or wherever, Western Cape. Maybe he's in Ceres. We don't know. He could be in Ceres. He could be...
Maybe I'm lying. Maybe I'm going to Zimbabwe. Maybe it's Zimbabwe.
100%. They need doctors there. They'll take anyone. Huh? They'll even take Amapiano stars.
I'm telling you. They just won't pay you.
Well, is it going to play on the... Oh, okay. So we're just having some technical difficulties. Any last questions you guys had for Armin?
Not a question for me, but just words of
advice as Ubaba.
You know me. I mean, firstly, congratulations, right?
Thank you.
I still remember. You know, the excitement and...
You're that feeling, hey? Yes. Have you graduated? Like, have they done the ceremony?
The oath-taking is in, like, a week.
Okay.
Yeah. And actual graduation for us is next year.
But you've passed all the exams, you've gotten your results, you know you're through.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
What do you mean you think so?
No, like, I'm, like, 95% sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's left for them to test you on that you're not sure?
No, I don't, because we haven't officially got the results, like the.
But
the
you're so
marks.
Confident, you're like, I'm through.
No, but I think they just said that we haven't failed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So he's done.
That was us, the whole of our med school. Yeah. Not failing was our purpose.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Okay.
You're like, did I pass? Did I just pass?
Yeah. Let's go out. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, in short, it's enjoy the journey, man. It's a beautiful journey. Allow yourself to be vulnerable. I mean, you worked hard to be here. That's it for me.
Vish,
guys, want to add?
Yeah, I think, again, it's not the destination, it's the journey, as you were saying. Because, I mean, we like much older than you, and, you know, we still, you're always going to be studying as a doctor. You're never going to be to a point where you shouldn't be studying. You're always learning. You're always doing something. So, yeah, I think just take it easy. Best of luck with your future.
I think the only piece of advice I have for you, Armin.
Watch out for the girls.
That's a given because they're going to come.
And don't end up driving a Suzuki Swift.
They're going to come. So that's, and I'm sure you'll deal with them accordingly. But so the piece of advice I'll share for you is I believe, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, I think we have the most beautiful profession in the world. You have so many different avenues that you can go in. You can sit at a desk your whole life. You can see patients if you want. You can work behind a computer screen.
You can also see no patients.
You can see no patients.
You can be in the dark room. Like,
you can see no patients if you don't want. There's so many options. It's so beautiful. You'll be learning for the rest of your life if you want to be a good doctor. And so I suggest that you could keep your studies up. Go do courses. Increase your knowledge. Even if you don't want to specialize.
Volunteer to do more calls.
No. And genuinely have medicine, but all the other things that you've got going in your life, don't neglect them.
Yeah.
You'll feel empty inside. If Nhlanhla didn't step on stage and wear a thong.
He's never ever done that.
I know his board shorts, whatever. If Nhlanhla never trained his legs and stepped on stage with his board shorts, he would never feel accomplished in his life. Am I right? Or am I wrong? Okay, when he's done laughing. I know that I would never be as good a doctor if I never pursued stand-up comedy. It makes me feel like I've got something else out of this deeply stressful job. And keep doing what you're doing. Don't let anyone else tell you about your life. Don't let them make you feel bad about what you're doing. Don't let them tell you you're not good enough because you make funny videos. You have self-confidence. You know you're good. The people know you're good. You're going to be good. Have a great time in Western Cape.
Have fun there, man.
Have so much fun. internship is probably the two best years of your life. You're single, you just got money, go travel, go enjoy your time with your friends.
Yeah.
Take care of your family if you need to. And make the most of these 2 years. And when you when you come back to Joburg for ComServe, hopefully, we'll see you. We'll see you. Hopefully, you know, you're going to still be driving the BM and not the Suzuki Swift. But yeah. So, okay. So we'll play it at the end of this episode. I think if you guys have any questions for Armin, you can also put it in the comments. And we'll make sure he sees them when he's on his yacht in Cape Town. That's it for this episode. I think we've finally, Armin, do you have any last questions for us before we leave?
Not really questions, but you know, I think this was probably one of the best ward rounds I've had.
Anytime.
No, but thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun. And I mean, it's nice to see that, you know, in the future, I don't have to like get rid of my passions.
Yeah.
Think not at all.
Like my outside life.
You could be this and a consultant, and I promise you, if you just have the confidence to say I can go do that, you'll do it. You'll do it. So just believe in yourself, have that faith that you can do everything that you're doing. Obviously there's going to be sacrifices. Nhlanhla has to eat salmon and salad every day.
You have to time yourself.
But that's what you got to do if you want to achieve your dreams. There's certain sacrifices you're going to have to make, and I think you've already made sacrifices. I'm sure that you understand what it takes to do this and that, and there may be more sacrifices to be made, but you'll figure it out. And it's not that tough, and you'll know the best path for you. Just listen to yourself, don't listen to anyone else. That's my final words. Thank you so much, Armin, for being here in the studio with us discussing all this nonsense. We appreciate your work. Keep shining that flag high. Make sure people know that doctors aren't just one-dimensional. And that's it from me, Dr. Sohail Essa, signing off on another episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic.
Dr. Vishen Naidu,
soon to be Dr. Dr. Nhlanhla Vilakazi.
Come on, Armin, you gotta do it.
You gotta do it.
You gotta do it. I know it's not official yet. Sign yourself out, Doctor.
Dr. Sadiq.
Hey! We'll see you guys next week. Cheers. Wait for me.
don't you call me? Just leave me alone. These streets don't need me. Please leave me alone, alone, alone. Please leave me alone. We'll be right back.